Brad, she's in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair, international relations expert, and she's based in Connecticut now, has advised several presidents over the years, Yvonne Renee Davis. Yvonne, as always, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you.
Well, President Trump has been, since Friday, on his trip to Asia, Japan, South Korea, China, Vietnam. First of all, Yvonne, give us your overview on how you feel his Japan swing went on this trip.
I think he did fine. I mean, he started out, it seems like when he's home, he starts out with more aggressive words in terms of the position of the United States related to North Korea, and then on the ground he seems to be more diplomatic and conciliatory. So in terms of this part of the trip, he's just moving it along, and it appears though that even with the speech this morning that he had with President Moon Jae-in, it was more conciliatory. Let's see who we can get to the table to stop North Korea. He was adamant about the United States being ready for war, but at the same time, he still put that on the table as a last resort. And so right now, this is what we have, is we have aggressive words and then a diplomatic shift. And let's see how this will continue. But when you're in the thick of it, this is where the true test of words, if it becomes action or not.
Let me ask you a question. Why is there a certain feeling that he is getting along with some of these foreign leaders, including Japan, better than other presidents that have gone over there? Why is there a different kind of feeling? And I think whether you like him or not, everybody's got to see that.
I think what's happening right now, I think there's a charm offensive that's going on in the Asia Pacific region with the leaders. The relationship in the previous administration related to Shinzo Abe, it wasn't, they weren't, President Obama and Shinzo Abe, President Abe were not at odds with one another. The tension was between the leaders of China. So in terms of the leaders of China, when they had the chocolate cake summit back at Mar-a-Lago, to here now over across the Pacific Ocean, there's a charm offensive. But clearly the words are one thing, but what needs to happen is what actually is happening on the ground. Tomorrow, President Xi Jinping will host President Trump, and he already has told his people and his staff to charm the president, make him feel good, and that's what's been going on. But there's an underlying message. If anyone's been watching the news, just recently in the 13th Congress of China's Communist Party, they have elevated President Xi Jinping to the level of Mao Zedong in terms of social thought, cementing political power.
So what does that mean, Yvonne? Does that give him this tremendous power in China more than any prior leader since Mao Zedong?
Yes, go ahead.
No, you're saying that China has got the same power now as they had before?
No, the leader of China.
The leader, that's what I mean, the leader.
They're at this point, since Mao Zedong, he has more power than any other leader in the history of China right now. He has solidified and codified his power, and he has made the statement that China is now the superpower of the world. People have to pay attention to that. That's why, in his approach, it's psychological as it relates to President
Yeah, but this Trump. this is not the power that I'm talking about. The power that I'm talking about, you're telling me that this gentleman is as powerful as our leaders are?
No, you asked me the question about Mao Zedong. I answered that question.
Right.
I'm talking about, in his mindset, it's a psychological game that's being played that we have to look at. Both leaders are playing it to some degree. The reality is, China has the largest good trading partner at the United States to the tune of $580 billion. There's a $347 billion trade deficit that President Trump wants to deal with as it relates to even Japan. There's a $70 billion trade deficit. South Korea, $30 billion trade deficit. That's why you can't just look at it in terms of North Korea and the whole Kim Jong-un, which is very critical because it is the largest threat in the region. You've got to look at trade and policies. President Trump is trying to change that right now by injecting India to neutralize China and irritate China. China's very upset that your Trump administration wants to create an Indo-Pacific trade deal that goes all the way, that deals with India and involves India in the discussion. And as you know, he's not visiting India.
Well, you know what, though, Yvonne, I've got to tell you this. The thing about Trump is he's not afraid to call out. Even yesterday when he had that joint news conference
with
the premier of Japan, he was out there saying as much as they got along, he was sure to mention that trade deficit right in front of the Japanese leader.
As a matter of fact, he not just in front of the Japanese leader, he's actually signed an executive order to have the U.S. look at China, India, Indonesia, Japan, Malaysia, South Korea, Thailand, and Japan, and Taiwan on trade deficits. He wants to have what is called American prosperity through trade, through fair, reciprocal, and trade economic practices.
Okay, Yvonne, just going to ask you to hold on for a second because I know we have some sports and traffic coming up, and then we'll get back to you. Brad, we are back with Yvonne Renee Davis. She is an international relations expert, and we're talking about President Trump's trip to Asia. So, Yvonne, as we take it, the wild card in all of this, even though Trump isn't visiting India, is India. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I think it's the wild card as it relates to, from a population perspective, the largest democracy in the world, 1.2 billion people. And so their economy, they're part of the BRIC countries that have been growing by leaps and bounds, and they are the bane of China's existence as it relates to power in the region. China wants to be the superpower as it relates to Asian countries, and India is saying, no, we're here too, and we have nuclear weapons too. So from President Trump's perspective, injecting India into the conversation actually becomes a leveraging tool as it relates to the United States standing.
Does China feel threatened by India?
Absolutely. Well, they feel irritated by India because if you remember 50 years ago they had a war and it was over land dispute, and recently there was some more land dispute of which China did pull back from building a construction, and then China and India's troops withdrew. But then China went ahead and created relationships with Nepal. So there's power plays going on between these two powers, these economic powers, and United States is looking to leverage that. China definitely is very upset about that. That's why China actually pulls back as it relates to North Korea. Because they're not going to be all in and stopping North Korea, because that region is a very critical region as it relates to trade, as it relates to security, as it relates to U.S. interests, and vice versa. So there's an interdependency that Japan, Korea, China have, along with other countries. That's why when President Trump pulled from the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, what do you replace it with? Do you replace it with individual agreements? And that becomes a question, is the U.S. retrenching completely from it?
Yvonne, a final question. We're running out of time here, so just quickly, a final question. What happens, because Trump's in South Korea, as you know, right now, mm-hmm. the South Korean part of his trip, what happens if North Korea launches a missile and the president's in South Korea? What do you think would happen?
I believe firstly, I don't think Kim Jong-un's going to do it right now. But if he were to do that, United States is certainly prepared to respond. I mean, we do have the ability. There was some talk about some intercepts. You heard listen to President Trump talk about Japan would be able to intercept these missiles, which would for us would be our THAAD missile system. So if that were to take place, that would definitely be an act of war on the part, or at least a stronger message on the part of North Korea. But North Korea, again, is waiting for President Trump to do something. And for the last 6 weeks to 7 weeks, it's been pretty quiet. So I think that they're more paying attention to what the president says and does. And today President Trump has offered a more conciliatory tone, although he did let everybody know there are three carrier the defense systems in the region, plus we have our nuclear warhead destroyers ready. We're locked and loaded, as I've used that term before. So we're ready. And we continue to do military drill exercises and also create missile defense deals with South Korea and Japan. President Trump asked Congress for $4 billion for more missile interceptors capabilities. So at the same time, we're getting ready. So this is really a serious issue. We are on the brink of something very serious in that region, and we must not look at it lightly.
Well, we thank you again for joining us and bringing us up to date on just what's happening in that part of the world. And, boy, I'll tell you, it has a lot of control over what happens around the world. Thanks again.
It does.
Thanks, Yvonne. Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.